Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Keep our names out of your mouth.
Welcome to another edition of Around the NFL. My name is Dan Hansis. I come to you from a virtual room filled with just one hero. But it's a special one. They're all special. Greg is a special hero. Greg Rosenthal, what's up, buddy?
I mean, am I special? At least on this show, it's not that special.
Mark Sessler not with us today. Hope to have him back on Thursday. But we are rolling, Greggy. The rookies for the Raiders, Bills, Falcons, Ravens, Chargers, Dolphins, Patriots, Saints, Giants, and Jets have all reported. Raiders veterans report tomorrow. I checked with Gravedigger to see if anybody's reporting late, but he said no. It's more locked-in schedule, so I can't eliminate any teams from championship contention on July 19th.
No, I noticed that. It's disappointing. All the teams show up within 2 days of each other next week, other than the Hall of Fame teams who get a little early start, Bills, Raiders. But it's good. It's that week where it's like, football is back. Like NFL Now is on once again for the first time in 3 months. And it's like camp is start, but they're actually it still is kind of a one more off week. But it's like people are getting ready.
I think around 50 days from the start of the regular season. So we're now, you know, getting into that zone, and we will be resuming our three shows a week starting next week. So we're warming up now. But this is the last week where you kind of feel like it's that summer quiet, even though teams are starting to roll in now. So we're gonna get you caught up to date on what's going on in the league. Not a lot right now, other than obviously teams and players showing up. But we also have, Greg, one of the long-running series in the history of Around the NFL, the longest-running series perhaps, tied with maybe some others, but Making the Leap, which used to be a list that we counted down and we divvied it up. It was, you know, me, you, Wes, Mark, Kevin Patra, and we each did a few and kind of went through it that way. You've now since modified it to a more broad look at the league, correct?
It's changed many times. Yeah. Then I just would do like four or five, and now we're doing one per team was the way we did it last year, and this year we're doing it again. So I needed some help. Some teams got a lot of options. Some teams, yeah, even good teams, not a lot of like young promising players. So I'm going to get help from you and our friend Bill Barnwell coming.
Yes, Bill Barnwell coming back to the show in a little bit. And that is a little misleading if you're going through Making the Leap and you don't see someone that springs to mind. Sometimes it's just that team is just a different type of team, a veteran team or whatever. But in some cases, Greg, I think it does help you to see, these guys are in a little bit of trouble. in some cases. Yeah,
there were a couple that were worrisome. Washington was one. I was like, where is their young talent? So, some are like the Bengals, who just, I feel like all the Bengals are like, they've already broken out. They all look like they're just a solid team returning and they're already good. Not worried about them, but there are others. And there are others like the Patriots who, you know, I felt good that they actually have some young players. They're getting a lot of grief for not having much talent these days, but.
Right. You know, then there are teams like the Titans where you're like, uh-oh. Windows closing. Right, Gravedigger?
Gravedigger. Yeah, you know, defense returns 10 of 11 starters, so it's kind of tough on that side of the ball. Offense, like, relying on some rookies, so you're like, you're not going to pick them to make the leap. But also some veterans, lots of veterans, right?
I mean, it was hard when, like, the first name I wrote down was, like, Tyer Tart. You know, I should get some help from you off air or whatnot because there's just not a lot of young talent.
Ooh,
there.
A private I do Rosenthal like your pick for Graver conversation. I don't know if we've had one of those yet.
We've had a few.
What is that supposed to mean? we've had many. We've had many.
I mean, like, you know, you pick up the horn and you punch in those digits and you call up Graver just to talk, you know?
That, you know what? Graver can attest that's actually happened multiple times. It's just show related because I'll be driving. I've become the old guy who I'm like some of our old bosses who would just like call because you don't want to be texting while you're driving. It's easier to give Graver a call, let him know. You don't think I do any behind the scenes work, but I do sometimes. You're not the only one, Dan.
I certainly know you do a lot of work, Greg, both in front of the camera and behind it. Before we get going and hit up the Making the Leap conversation with Bill Barnwell. And we have another special guest at the end of the show because
very special.
There is something going on that's dirty. Something stinks down south. And I don't mean the Tennessee Titans roster. There's something else going on. And we're going to do our best to right a terrible wrong down in Georgia off the coast. But before that, let's do some news.
So now Lamar Miller able to get out of the hole. Miller, could he? Vaccaro's chasing. Lamar Miller all the way, wire to wire, 97 yards of glory.
Greg's friend Joe Tessitore with the call. Lamar Miller, 97 yards to the house with the Houston Texans. Still the only two-time Making the Leap candidate. I did a little research on this, Greg. Chris Wessling wrote the Lamar Miller 2013 Making the Leap copy. And then in 2016, after four frustrating but tantalizing seasons in Miami, he moved to Houston to replace Arian Foster. And the old Zeuser said, uh-oh, this feels like the moment for Lamar Miller. A two-time Making the Leap candidate, never quite made the leap, but it was always an interesting player to me.
Yeah, one of the stranger corners you were ever on was Lamar Miller corner. Year after year, you just really like Lamar Miller. No one could really totally wrap their arms around it. But
all right. Can we wrap our arms around J.K. Dobbins and his status as he looks toward another season coming off an ACL injury? NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that the Ravens running back is, quote, no sure thing to be ready for week one. Rappaport noted that Dobbins has not had any setbacks in his rehab and it's going well, but the injury was extensive. There was a meniscus tear, the ACL damage to the lateral side, Ian reported. So you have this very tantalizing running back, this talented player who you don't know exactly what he's going to give you. Now, to that point, Greggy, J.K. Dobbins then tweeted, I might not even go on PUP because that's how good my rehab is going, and I'm damn sure going to be ready for week one. So he refuted Rap Sheet's reporting, as you have done in the past, Greg. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, me and Rap Sheet, you know, have had some differences of opinion in terms of coverage this year, but this is certainly one where I trust his reporting over J.K. Dobbins. Because, yeah, I'm sure J.K. Dobbins is feeling good about his rehab, but Ian's getting the information from the team or doctors or agent, whoever is trying to look out for J.K. Dobbins and doesn't expect him to be ready for the start of the season. And they're going to try to save him from himself because they know him being healthy later in the year is more important. Gus Edwards is also coming off of an injury. You know, they drafted a running back there in the later rounds. Like, they can get by without J.K. Dobbins for a couple of weeks. So this is one, though, even though I'm sure he wants to get back on the field, if I'm a fantasy football player and I hear this from Ian, I would trust it. And it sounds like one of those things that they'll work them in slowly, maybe week three, week four. Not the biggest deal in the world at the running back position they can fill in.
It makes me think of Saquon Barkley last offseason this time, where you had, you know, a very serious knee injury. He was recovering from the rehab, was not going poorly by any stretch, but it was going along in its own process. And similarly, he ended up playing. I don't think he started the season, and then he never really found a flow. Hopefully that doesn't happen with Dobbins. All right, in other news, Rodney Hudson's coming back to the Arizona Cardinals. Rap Sheet reports that Hudson has informed the team he's returning and will play in 2022, entering his age 33 season. Hudson did not play very well for Arizona last year, but he's a key guy for them at the pivot, Greggy. So this is good news for a team that could use good news.
Huge news. Their offensive line played so much worse in the games that he missed. So even though he wasn't like the all pro that he used to be, he was way better than their backups. They ended up having all these snap problems. And the fact that he was considering retirement is the best possible outcome, because we did this story on the show you missed last week, Dan. And so I wanted to kind of close the loop that something weird was going on, that they were sending out birthday messages to other people who had Rodney Hudson's birthday, but not to Rodney. Then they sent out a tweet with four starting offensive linemen that were just like, our big guys are going to protect. But they didn't include Rodney Hudson. It was four starters and the fifth was missing. And it seemed like maybe something was going on between the two, but I guess it was just he was considering retiring and they didn't want to put his name out there if they didn't know he was going to play. So that's good. Just to close that loop, he will be playing.
It does always surprise me when I learn that you guys are doing the show when I'm not here. It always like,
I know you don't like
me
it.
As, I don't love it. I don't love it, but I understand it's necessary. And I don't plan on missing another show, Greg, until the off season that follows this season.
No, I think we're probably locked in now here. Yeah, that was from Japan. That was a wild
oh,
show.
Oh yeah. How you doing? How's your jet lag?
It's good. It's way easier to focus on like overcoming jet lag, and it's much harder coming back from Japan. It's easier to focus when you have no family around you. My wife Emeka and our children are still in Japan for another 10 days. So everything
that's
seems
nice.
Easier. It's like you can't complain about anything when that's the case.
And one of the great life hacks, it might be obvious, but I'm sure some people might think it's better to try to change your children's sleep habits or try to keep them in line. If you travel across the country, like we live in California, we've been in New Jersey now for a couple of weeks. I have kept the children on Pacific time, and that's wonderful. Oh, what a treat. So the kids get to stay up later here in New Jersey, and they love that. And then, oh, Greggy, the mornings. Those boys are quietly sleeping in their beds at 10:15 a.m., 10:30 a.m. It's a whole new world. You know, once you have kids, the days of sleeping past 7 a.m. are mostly over, and this has just been a wonderful respite, and I've truly enjoyed it.
That's a good move. I would think the circadian rhythms and just the sunshine, they would naturally fall into the East Coast after a few weeks. You can't do that when you're coming back from Tokyo, though. Like, for instance, we're taping this in the West Coast morning. It's 3 a.m. there on Wednesday already in Tokyo. So you can't play that game in Tokyo. That's a dangerous game.
I should note that we keep them in a windowless basement here on the Jersey Shore. In other news, the Cleveland Browns plan on signing an extra quarterback behind Jake Brissett if Deshaun Watson is suspended. That, according to Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Watson likely facing a lengthy suspension due to all of his off-the-field tribulations. So the Browns, if that indeed does happen, are going to want to add somebody else. Baker Mayfield, of course, no longer an option, traded to the Panthers. And on the subject of Deshaun Watson. The Houston Texans have reached settlements with 30 women who made claims or were prepared to make them against the NFL organization for its alleged role regarding sexual misconduct allegations against Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson in massage sessions. The attorney for the women, Tony Busby, said in a statement on Friday.
Yeah, it was interesting that the Texans settled this so quickly. There's no word whether the Texans will face a NFL punishment. You would think that was possible. We're still waiting to hear the Watson news. It might not happen even now, they're saying, before the Browns show up for training camp, which would be awkward. We don't really know. And really the takeaway from Mary Kay's report I thought was notable was just they want to sign a clear backup to Brisket. It unless they're trying to mislead the media, I don't think they're going to bring in Jimmy G. People have speculated about that if Watson gets half the season or the full season, would you bring in Jimmy G? At least the reporting indicates that no, Brisket is going to be their guy either way. He's been with the team all offseason and he'll know the offense better. We'll see.
All right. In other news, Eddie Goldman's NFL career is over. The defensive tackle of the Atlanta Falcons has surprisingly retired at the age of 28. The former second round pick hangs up the cleats. This comes after he signed a 1-year deal with Atlanta earlier this month, but something changed, obviously, Greg, between now and then.
Yeah, it's surprising. Not a long run with the Falcons. It reminds me of Frank Gore's run with the Eagles back in the day. Old heads will remember that. Goldman was like one of the best young nose tackles in the league for a few years. It feels like no one was impacted more negatively from the pandemic than him. He had injury issues, but then he sat out the pandemic season and he could never get healthy on his way back. But it seems like it was more of an injury thing than anything else. But Falcons fans actually were hopeful he was going to start. So it is a loss for them.
All right. Happy trails, Eddie Goldman, and whatever comes next. And finally in the news, Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny, Lombardi Lenny. The dude has always been a tank. But right now, it's a particularly large tank. A tank that I think Wes used to call him Battleship Lenny. Is that because of his inability to change directions?
Yeah, he would say, yeah, him trying to move around. That was a tough nickname for him to put on him.
So Fournette, he skipped voluntary OTAs with the Bucks, and then he showed up at mandatory minicamp, very heavy compared to the end of the 2021 season. How heavy? His listed weight, 6'2", 228, and this report from Rick Stroud. Coaches were not happy, and that's an understatement report regarding the team's minicamp, when Fournette didn't participate in the OTAs, but then he shows up at the mandatory minicamp weighing damn near 260 pounds. So that could be an issue. And remember, they have a third-round pick, Rashad White, who's in the building and hungry in a different way from Lenny, that could make this an interesting backfield in Tampa.
There are some people I trust, draft Knicks, that think Rashad White is the man, that he should have been drafted way higher, that this is a great opportunity. He's someone I'm not curious about that much in the preseason. I'm going to be curious to watch a little Rashad White. I'm not worried about Lenny, though. Like, when this stuff happens in May and everyone gets mad in the press and stuff, that's like 6 weeks before camp. You can drop a lot of weight in 6 weeks. There's 6 weeks of camp until the games actually start. That's a solid 3 months. You would think he'll be able to get his weight down. And then it's tough for some of these players, though. You're out of the practice. The weight comes on, it comes off. It's a battle. And Fournette's definitely one of those guys.
I want to see how Fournette does during this break. I definitely want to see how Mekhi Becton with the Jets comes out of this break, because this is for a lot of guys. It's not just these two dudes. They do use that last stretch between minicamp and the start of training camp as there, let me get down to my playing weight. I've had some fun in the off season. Now it's time to get crazy. I know the game's different. It used to be guys would be like smoking cigarettes and were, laying down a driveway in the off season. And then they would use training camp to get into shape. It's not that way anymore, but you could still sense it, Greg, for a lot of guys, or some guys, at least there is that, like, okay, time to buckle down and get serious ahead of training camp. That seems to be the case with Fournette anyway.
I think that's refreshing. It's sort of old school. You know, it's a harkens back to the old days of the NFL that you could just, like, get a little sloppy in the offseason and get back.
You know,
why not?
I've had too much fun this offseason. I've been traveling too much, out of my routine, always battling the bulge. And this is going to be the same thing for me. I'm going to try to use training camp as a ramp up to week one to just, you know, try to drop some LBs. You know, we were on camera and stuff. It's just like the summer, man. Sometimes it gets you. It sneaks up and gets you. All the grilling out and, you know, a few too many Tito's.
Same.
Late night eating.
I could stand to get in a little better shape right now, too. It's the opposite for coaches. They show up in the best shape of their lives, and then they slowly get worse and worse as the season gets along. Like, Bill Belichick always, shows up about, we shouldn't be fat shaming or anything, but he definitely shows up in better shape than he looks in December. And that's typical of a lot of coaches.
The guy that always stands out to me is Rex, his first year with the Jets when they made that unexpected run to the AFC title game. If you ever go back and watch that game, and Peyton Manning had a second half comeback, so it does show up sometimes on NFL Network or whatever. Rex is huge by the AFC title game just because, you know, that job, the stress and the late
nights. Mangini was another one. He would show up to camp looking one way and the season would end a little different.
Anyway, training camp for playoff Lenny, also for, you know, playoff Tugboat is starting right now. All right, that's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break. And then it's time for Bill Barnwell.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. Joining us now is one of the best football writers in the game. He's been pounding out copy for years over on ESPN.com. It's a compliment. He also is the host of the Bill Barnwell Show. There's a hint for you. And he has nothing in his Twitter bio. Bill Barnwell, welcome back to Around the NFL.
That may change. I may change it to Copy Pounder, ESPN.com.
There's something a little lurid, though, about Copy Pounder.
Sure,
I don't know.
No,
there
it's a
sure
problem.
Is.
Yeah, Dan, you were mentioning Connor Orr was on our show a few years ago and had takes on all of our Twitter bios. I think he thought my one-word bio was a little too cute. I wonder what he thinks about the Bill Barnwell just leaving it blank. All business. It's a sense of mystery there, Bill.
Mm-hmm. There's an aura, I think, to it. I don't want to set preconceived notions. I want someone who does not know me at all to stumble on my account, judge my bad takes based on the quality of the take as opposed to where I work, ask Bill, who is Bill Barnwell? LOL, idiot. And then eventually realize that I work for ESPN.
Right. And also there's the old phrase, you know, what is it? Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free. I think that ties in somehow to that as well.
I'm not sure if it necessarily if I'm the cow or the milk, but I think either way, you know, I really believe that I want to be judged based on the quality of my work, for better or worse. And on Twitter, I mean, you know, realistically, I don't want to set some ideas. I know people are going to be upset if I tweet too much, tweet too little, only tweet about football, not tweet about football. So at this point, just fill in whatever you need to fill in. That may not agree with what Connor Orr thinks works for Twitter accounts, but I have stood by this for several years now.
All right, good. And by the way, Connor Orr will be joining us later this summer ahead of the beginning of the season, where we break down team slogans for 2022. So stay tuned for that. But right now we got Bill Barnwell, and you could check Bill's latest article. I read it this morning. I enjoyed it. NFL MVP 2022 cases, where you take a player and then find someone, you know, use history, as Chris Wessling mm-hmm. was known to say, history is instructive, and find mm-hmm. a case that connects with the player entering the season. I particularly like the Matthew Stafford comp to Matt Ryan in 2016. Mm-hmm. Veteran quarterback, has pelts on the wall, but now he's another year in a system with a gifted play caller on a good team. Look out. I kind of into that. Matt Stafford, mm-hmm. Greg. I know. Where are we in Vegas, Greg, with Matt Stafford MVP?
I feel like he's not one of the – even close to one of the favorites.
Mm-hmm. Long shot,
but
baby.
He's not as big a long shot as Brett Rypien, who Bill also somehow squeezed into that column. And I got to admit, like, I would have clicked on it anyways, but – ESPN used the Brett Rypien as like a sell on their homepage. And I was just like, well, that's very un-Bill Barnwell-like. And, mm-hmm. you know, I saw what you were doing. You were trying to think of a comp for Kurt Warner in mm-hmm. 1999. And it's a tough one to find.
Well, I mean, think about how unlikely Kurt Warner was as an MVP candidate, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who was 27, 28 at the time, undrafted, had 11 career pass attempts, was the backup all training camp until Trent Green, I believe, tore his ACL.
Well, like Brett Rypien, no one had ever heard of it. Like, in 1999, when he was, I remember the first game Warner started, I was like, who's Kurt Warner? No one really knew him. And that would be the case with Brett Rypien, unless you're a Mark Rypien fan.
You were writing the Roto-World bird for Kurt Warner, saying Joe Germain is coming in 2 weeks. Joe Germain, priority waiver pickup. And I mean, it was incredible. You know, it's one of the most incredible stories, I think, in recent NFL history. And I think, you know, I brought up Brett Rypien because even Brett Rypien is so much more likely to be a useful player than Kurt Warner was. It's just so incredible and so out of nowhere. And I think at this point, you know, working back 20 years, it's so hard to find a good comparison there.
History is instructive. And the social media people, they, you know, that's what they're paid to do. Find the hookiest mm-hmm. thing. But sometimes, you know, for the copy pounders like us, you like to have something that the reader kind of you work your way to that spot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, that's fun. Like a perfect case in point, the Superstar Club on NFL.com last week. Mm-hmm. I had Justin Tucker. He was the grand finale. Mm-hmm. And what do you think's mm-hmm. the sell all over mm-hmm. NFL and its, you know, connected properties? Justin Tucker. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, keep pounding, I think, is what we're going to do. We're just like the Carolina Panthers here on around the NFL.
Trademark infringement intended. All right. Now, Greg needs help. That's how I took this. I took this as mm-hmm. I was rewatching Titanic for the first time in many years with my nieces here really? On the Jersey Shore. And when they just start sending up those flares after the iceberg hit, it's already too late. They're doomed, and Carpathia's like 4 hours away. Here's the good news, Greg. We are the Carpathia, me and Barnwell. We are not 4 hours away. We're right here for you now because you need help with the 2022 Making the Leap class. That's how I took this. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's correct. I think we're also like the band on the Titanic as people who are trying to be copy pounders in 2022, like getting people to read long form stuff on the internet. But yeah, I'm doing Making the Leap. And I thought Bill would be – this year they want me to do one per team. I did that last mm-hmm. year, and so I'm doing one per team. Bill, I thought would be a fun guy, and you as well, to help me narrow it down per team. Well, he's the special guest. You're always here.
I understand.
So, yeah, I'm going to run through –
And you as well.
I mean, you're always here. This is what's different right. is Bill, right. Bill's joining us. Fine. And we run through a bunch of the teams that are a little harder to do. So I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to mention some of the teams that I already think I know where I'm going. Like Bill, I'm going to just go just in order. With,
Greg, it's gonna, is it going to be one per team, 32?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if we'll go through all. We'll just talk some of the more interesting teams. But in the AFCs, I really like Ed Oliver. I think I'm going to go with him. I feel like he already broke out, but people didn't notice. Jets, I'm going with your boy Elijah Moore, most likely. I wanted to start with the Pats because if nothing else, this made me feel a little bit better about the Pats roster, that they have actually a bunch of options, which not a lot of not every team does. And I'll throw these by you, Bill and Dan. Kyle Duggar, their safety, who's a playmaker. Christian Barmore, who had an incredible rookie season. Then you get to the point, did he already make the leap? Is that not big enough take? Josh Uche, Amina Kimes' favorite, who they really need to step up sort of as a pass rusher. Ramondre Stevenson, one of the best rookie running backs in the league last year. And then I even throw in Kendrick Bourne, who might be their number one receiver. So unlike a lot of teams, I feel like they have a lot of good options. Where would you go, Bill?
I think I would go Josh Uche here because I think they really need a linebacker to step up. I mean, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, all gone. I mean, that's a lot of not just reps, not just snaps, but just brain power. You know, those are guys who were really the brains of that defense in so many ways at the second level. And I think for Josh Uche, you know, we've seen him almost exclusively play on the edge. So to me, I think the question is, you know, can he be a guy who plays in the middle as well? Can he be a three down linebacker? Can he do more than just rush the passer? Because I think Bill Belichick wants his linebackers to be able to do that, but he doesn't want that to be the only thing they do. So to me, I think, you know, with Josh Uche, I think the leap for him is just, does he have more than what he's shown so far? Can he play a bigger role? Because I think that's the difference between him being a guy who's one and done in terms of contracts on this roster or a guy who sticks around for a second deal.
I would go with Barmore. I think you look at what he did last year, how he came on and got better and better. He had more hurries last year or had more pressures last year than Aaron Donald as a rookie.
Wow.
And he came on against the run. His pass rushing grade on PFF was really jacked up in the second half of the season. So, you know, he's a second rounder, right? So it's one of those, as a Patriots hater, you could call me. These are the type of guys that they find and unearth and become big time players for, you know, several seasons. So he would be my pick. Can I push back on, it's not really a pushback, but I like Gabe Davis with Buffalo. I know you got Ed Oliver in there.
Yeah,
I think you nailed it with the Jets, even though you don't even have Zach Wilson as like a under consideration in the Word document. You
sent. I sent you a document of like candidates for.
No, it's just weird.
I have to believe in him, and I you know I don't.
I know I got don't. You. But if Elijah Moore has a huge season, Zach Wilson probably takes a big step. But anyway, Gabe Davis with Cole Beasley out of there. I think that's a big part. Emmanuel Sanders out of the picture. What he did in the playoff game against the Chiefs. Sometimes I get caught in this personally, Bill. I don't know if you do too. When a player has a huge breakout game in the postseason, I think that's a natural leaping point. It doesn't always play out that way, but the way he stepped up on the biggest stage there, that stuck with me.
Oh my goodness. I think about that route where he just broke Mike Hughes' ankles once a week. I literally watched it 2 days ago. I loaded up Next Gen and I was just like, I'm going to watch this route 10 times in a row. The Gabe Davis thing is so interesting because if you look at, and I realize this is not a fantasy football podcast, so I apologize for bringing some fantasy football.
No, we try to pepper in the fantasy advice this time of year, especially. We will have the Fantasy Spectacular coming up next month. It is the 10th annual, 9th annual. Who even really knows?
20th.
Who can count that far? But Gabe Davis is like going in the fourth or fifth round of best ball drafts right now. He is
what?
Going,
really?
Like he's going to be, yeah, he's going, he's going to be a real difference maker and immediate superstar. And I think, you know, to your point, I feel like that is really just something that is a product of that last game. I think if he had a nice 80-yard game in his final postseason game, he was good, but not four touchdowns and otherworldly, I think he'd be going a couple rounds later, even given the huge opportunity there is to now be the number two receiver in that offense. So I'm optimistic about his chances, but I don't know that he's going to be the guy who I think people are counting on that high in fantasy football drafts.
Yeah, I would not take him that high. He's sort of the obvious pick. I just feel like Ed Oliver, there was that class of defensive tackles who they've taken turns who's played well. And I think people didn't really notice that Ed Oliver finally looked like a top 10 pick in the second half of last year. And so he's just someone I sort of want to highlight. That's what this is about too. I'm kind of leaning Barmore though. I'm with you on Uche. They need more out of him, and that's what I hope as a Pats fan. And he hasn't played much. I think I'm just scarred by the Chase Winovich era, where like per snap he was one of the best pass rushers in the league, and they would never put him on the field. And that's a little bit what Uche's been like the last couple of years. And there are different types of making the leaps, and I try to balance it out. You want some good names, some big names, some selling pack. You want some coming out of nowhere. You're going to end up having a lot of receivers because I'm basic. Sure. And so they're just easier guys to pick. But you also want some leaps from like a guy like Barmore, who it's not like I'm like putting on my great scouting hat and saying like this guy's going to be a player. Like everyone already knows that who watched the Patriots. But I think he's got a legitimate chance to be like a superstar. So that would be a big leap going from great rookie year to one of the very best in the entire league. And then, you know, you only remember your hits. You only bring up your hits in the future. So midway through the season, when Barmore is making that midseason All-Pro team, I'll say, remember back on that show back in July, Dan, you told me to pick Barmore. We nailed it.
I like it. Let's move to the AFC North, Greg. Let's keep rolling here.
Yeah. I didn't mention the Dolphins, by the way. I think I'm going to do either Javon Holland or maybe their entire offensive line, because their offensive line was so bad. I think the coaching helped. Ravens, I'm kind of looking at Adafa Owe is probably my favorite. Bengals is weirdly a tough team to find candidates just because they're all there. Logan Wilson doesn't get enough pop. Browns, I'm leaning Owusu-Koramoah over Greg Newsom. But the Steelers, four good options. Najee Harris, Miles Jack with the rare like 7 or 8 years into his career, but everyone forgot about him and now he's a free agent making the leap. But I think he could do it. Chase Claypool, who recently said he thinks he's a top three receiver in the league.
Says a lot.
And Alex Highsmith, who's quietly put up a lot of production across from TJ Watt. Four good options, which is a good sign for the Steelers that they have that many options. Where would you go?
The problem is I have to believe in the player, right?
Right, that's part me of too. The, me too.
Here. And I think the guy who comes to mind for me is actually none of those guys. It's Dan Moore, who is left tackle for them. I think was last in ESPN's pass block win rate rankings last year, so not great. But I mean, that organization did not replace him. They did not supplement him. They believe in him as a starting left tackle. And I think the Steelers, given their drafting and development history over the past 40 years. I'm not saying that they're always right. Not saying that
just said they were last. Is that a shot at the whoever came up with pass block win rate at ESPN? Like they might be listening and being like, come on, Barnwell.
I think he's going to get better. Is he going to get better enough to be a franchise left tackle? That's a tough question. But, you know, I think last year with Ben Roethlisberger, it was okay. Ben can't move, but at least he knows what's coming. At least he has a good sense of where the rush is going to be. Now it's Mitch Trubisky. Now it's Kenny Pickett, who can move, but who are not as sort of seasoned as Ben Roethlisberger. So it's, can Dan Moore protect the blind side of two young quarterbacks? And if he can, that's a huge difference maker for a team that, you know, does not have a lot of cap space to spend and certainly not invested heavily in their offensive line. I think that's the most interesting player I'm watching heading into year two. I'm just not sure if I believe in him.
I'm going Claypool here. He was electrifying as a rookie, and his skill set just like jumps off of the screen when you watch him. Sometimes I wonder, is he a little bit of a knucklehead, and is he a fit with the Steelers? I don't know. And you look at the numbers, he declined. At least he only had two touchdowns last year, but you know it's all there, and you know that it couldn't. I know they're not settled at quarterback now, or we don't know yet with Trubisky and maybe Kenny Pickett, maybe a dash of Rudolph, but anything I think is better than dead Ben like that. If I had to take a chance on a guy that maybe disappointed last season a little bit of making a big jump and making the leap and becoming like an all-pro, I'm not saying top three like he thinks, but becoming a Pro Bowl type talent, Claypool's my guy there.
I think I'm a top three podcaster on this show personally.
I mean, you went off the board, Bill. I'm not sure. I mean, it was good analysis. It's definitely the first Dan Moore pop we've given all offseason. And it is a big story for them, their offensive line in general.
You didn't mention Pat Freiermuth either. He's a little saucy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I should have.
That's true.
Actually, people love the Freiermuth. I think Jack could be a sneaky big pickup for them because they just don't like Devin Bush. I think Devin Bush is ultimately going to get replaced, benched by him. Mm-hmm. He's a weird pick here. Highsmith gets him. Yeah, Freiermuth actually might be the guy, and he wasn't listed. So.
Wow.
60 catches on 79 targets.
I take that back. Najee is too much of a basic pick, mm-hmm. although, you know, his per carry numbers weren't great. I wanted to throw in a Davis Mills Texans conversation. He's probably going to be the pick for the Texans. Just because I just personally am, we haven't talked Davis Mills like all offseason. And mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious for your take, Bill, and just the, you know, Nico Collins would be another guy they're talking up. Mm-hmm. I know our friend Nate Tice really likes Tavier Thomas, who's a cornerback who's fighting for playing time there. I did projected starters a couple months ago, and their mm-hmm. defense was easily the hardest side of the football to project on all 32 mm-hmm. teams. Like, it was just like, what? I don't know who is starting on this group. So it's hard to predict them making the leap out of that group. Where are you in terms of your Davis Mills belief?
I'm not high, I have to admit. You know, I think that 5-game stretch to end the season, you know, hey, numbers were fine. Pretty good by all accounts. Defenses he were playing, not especially impressive. And to be fair, the defenses he played as a starter earlier in the season were a lot tougher. So there was a high bar early in the campaign, but I would really discount that a little bit based on the defenses he played towards the end of the year. I'm not saying that you throw him out, I'm not saying that you never give him a chance again, but I think the organization saying he's our guy, at least for this year, we're not going to make any other moves to try and make a significant alternative here, I'm a little skeptical of. To be fair, I will say I am writing right now for ESPN, I'm doing my offseason rankings of skill position players for each team. The Texans were 32 last year, and I don't think the Texans, I don't want to spoil anything, I don't think they're moving too far off that spot this year. So I think for Davis Mills, decent offensive line, but the weapons not really there. And so I think, you know, that is going to hurt any quarterback. We'll get to another quarterback later on, I think, who has an even worse situation. But I do think that for Davis Mills, you know, I think he's playing with a half of a hand tied behind his back, maybe. I think he could certainly use more help than what he has. I actually went with Brevin Jordan here, where I think it's a question of, you know, is he just a guy who's playing because they have no other options at tight end? I think their backup is Anthony Auclair. Or is he a guy who's a good athlete, who can be a player who, you know, even if he's not your inline tight end who plays 1,000 snaps, can he be an athletic tight end who makes plays for you? And I think that is something the Texans have to figure out this year with their receiving core is, okay, we have Brandon Cooks, but who else is playing in our offense 3 years from now besides the star former Rams wide receiver?
Do you want to shine the light on anybody else in the AFC South, Greg, before we move on?
No. I was going to just, I'll quickly, you know, Pittman probably, the Colts, maybe Quidipe. Trevor Lawrence, you got to get, like I said, you got to have some star power here. That's someone you can sell the article with, Trevor Lawrence. Titans, another bad sign for your Titans, Gravedigger, that they didn't really have any good options. I might go with like their young cornerback duo, Christian Fulton and Elijah Molden, kind of do a package deal. Let's move to the AFC
West.
Can
I just say, if I had to, if my life was on the line and I had to nail one of these for making the leap, and it is basic, but it's a good sell. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to make a substantial leap this year. That would be my pick if I had to put it all on the line. Anyway, I'd like to hear your guys' choice as well before the end of this exercise.
Ooh, okay. Right. Mine might be the next guy, Jerry Jeudy on the Broncos.
Wow.
Now Sertan would be an easy pick there. He already was so good.
You want it so bad, Greg. You want Jerry Jeudy to be awesome so bad.
I mean, I don't necessarily. He obviously had... you know, he had the disturbing off-field arrest this offseason, which got thrown out. Doesn't seem like he's going to get punished by the NFL. Even just in terms of what you've heard from the beat writers, in terms of his attitude on the field and some of the things coaches have said, there are some questions about maturity there, which makes you worried. Albert O is another name I would throw. Mm-hmm. But I just sort of trust, you got to trust your eyes with certain things, and he moves in such a way that so few people in the NFL move. And I just think getting open is the most bankable asset that any receiver can have, and he does that really well. And now he's going to upgrade at quarterback. As much as I like Teddy, it is an upgrade here to Russell Wilson. And to me, I think if I'm picking any of those guys, I know it's a deep receiver group, but I think Judy benefits from Wilson being there the most.
I mean, I'm just a lowly copy pounder, so I don't have the eyes to examine the way players move. That is a art form that I could not possibly look to as a lowly copy pounder. But my question for Jerry Judy is this. Like, yes, Jerry Judy has had middling, maybe bad quarterbacks his first 3 years in the NFL, first 2 years in the NFL. Compare that to someone like Terry McLaurin, who's had even worse quarterbacks and been more productive. Michael Pittman has had similar or worse quarterbacks and been more productive. I mean, guys, you know, I think the argument that Jerry Judy will throw his first 2 years out because he was playing with crappy quarterbacks, like, there are other teams, other players who have had worse quarterbacks who have been more productive. So to me, I think I'm cautiously optimistic about Jerry Judy, but I think that sort of just plug and play, oh, we're inserting Russell in and he's going to get 1,300 yards. I'm not with you on that.
Allen Robinson, before he kind of quit last year, another guy, you know, the guys that are really studs, they find a way to get the numbers. But he's also a guy, you remember his last game against the Raiders when he had 5 catches for 140 yards. It's all there, but you're putting your life on the line, Greg.
Well, yeah, I also think he's like just much more, he's more talented than Cortland Sutton and Hamler and Patrick. I think he's the one.
But you're not going to put MVS as the making the leap guy for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Like, why not?
Because he just had Aaron Rodgers on his team for years, and he was always a tantalizing guy, but it just never put it together. Why is he now going to put it together now?
Because they need him. Because they need him. Because his role's going to change. Because they're going to see him different.
Yeah, they need him. So do the Packers, but it never really happened. Well,
how is his role going to change in Kansas City? He's not going to be like a three levels receiver just because they need him to be one. Like,
well, that's what they, you know,
no?
You're right. I might be falling for the OTA stuff, but that is literally like the OTA stuff is like, now he's going to be a three level receiver.
Greg, you've been doing this 20 years, my friend.
It's a fair point. A lot of it is opportunity though. And I do think because of the money that they gave him, and because he's a long-term piece there, that he is going to have a lot of opportunities. And for him, making the leap would be 900 yards. I mean, and make a bunch of big plays in prime time. It doesn't need to be some massive thing. And I could see it where he feels like, you know, people were saying Tyreek Hill, one of the many reasons why they will miss Tyreek Hill is, you know, the 4 or 5 times a year where Mahomes just is freestyling and finds someone down the field, that feels like MVS's spot to shine.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. But that's 4 or 5 times a year. He was that guy with the Packers already. Like, he would have, you know, he'd go for 140 and 2 touchdowns 3 times a year, and then he'd have 4 weeks where he'd have 17 yards, and he'd be just, where did MVS go? I think that's, maybe he's a better version of that this year.
Well, Ronald Jones would be another, like, disappointment elsewhere that possibly steps up, because I just don't believe in Edwards-Helaire. Nick Bolton, I guess, would be an option. The man who didn't quite come down with that Joe Burrow weird sideline pass that he could have intercepted that would have maybe won, you know, put the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. L'Jarius Sneed just doesn't get a lot of attention, so I could mention him. What about
Juan Thornhill? I mean, a guy who was very good as a rookie. Since then, I mean, okay, has been in and out of the lineup a bit, but was in more last year than out. And I think, you know, a player where I think I'm wondering, is he just, you know, is he better than Daniel Sorensen? Is that why he's in the lineup, or is he actually a legit, you know, above average starting safety? I think I want to see him play 17 games and play consistently well this year.
So I can just feel Dan getting nervous because the pacing of this is in trouble. You know, it's like, we got to get Bill out of here. No, it's not Bill. It's me. Cause I'm trying to like crank through all 32.
Yeah, I think you're projecting upon me. I do know we have to take a break. So let's take a break, Greg. And then we're going to hit the NFC. See, that's Tugboat just keeping things under control. It's like the captain on the Titanic. I'm not going to be on the lifeboat. I will be behind the big wheel when the water comes rushing in.
See, Dan's in Jersey, and I just think I can do whatever I want.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, let's get to it. The NFC East with Bill Barnwell. Mm-hmm. Let me do a Francesa. All right, if you're just joining us, Bill Barnwell does really great stuff over at ESPN. He's joining us. We're talking Making the Leap. Greg, how about the NFC East?
Yeah, Washington was one of the teams I couldn't come up with anyone. I was like, oh. I don't know. Just do like an Antonio Gibson bounce back. Cowboys, probably CeeDee Lamb over Odighizuwa, although I really like Odighizuwa. I wanted to talk Giants because Bill is our resident Giants fan that tries to hide that he's a Giants fan somewhat.
Bill's going through some stuff right now. The listeners should know his face, his hands are buried in his face or the other way.
I think I feel better about the future of the Giants right now than I have in about a decade. It might not be great this year. But this is one where I don't need your help. I'm definitely going Kadarius Toney because I am a huge Kadarius Toney believer, and I was just curious if Bill is with me on this at all.
I'm not. I think he's okay. I think he's interesting. But like we're basing our Kadarius Toney optimism on one game.
Yeah.
Like that's it. His
it was like two games. It was really two games. He did some things against the Saints.
He had 16 catches for 267 yards in that two-game stretch. Otherwise,
and that was it. And like,
but how about those eyes? How about how he moves? You got to admit, he is a freak in terms of how he moves, like a Tyreek Hill type of thing.
When you are staring at the life nature of NFL players moving, I'm out. I'm pounding the copy. My head is down. I'm on the keyboard.
This is BS. Yeah. You know, I know you're a numbers guy and we want, you know, factual.
Don't put him
data
in the box. He's a numbers
but
guy.
But you still got to look at a guy like Kadarius. So as a rookie stepping out there and having a game and making NFL defensive players look silly in a way that few players do, and doing that right off the bat and thinking, okay, there's something here in the right system that they could harness. Mm-hmm. And it feels like Brian Daboll would be that right system. He just has to stay healthy and kind of have his head on straight.
That's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. But what I would say is, number one, he did get hurt later on in the year, but he was not that guy consistently after that 2-week stretch. And number two, they did use second round pick on Wandale Robinson, who is kind of the same sort of player, maybe not as good, maybe more of a project than Kadarius Toney, but that doesn't tell me that the new regime is necessarily in love with Kadarius Toney.
And there was some trade
to be in that role.
Rumors swirling around him after year one, which is very unusual. I know there's a regime change and that stuff could happen, but I got some sobering data here, Greg, and Bill just touched on it, but he played 10 games last year. He missed time, extended time to injuries. He had those two big games, 23 catches for 150 yards outside that 2-game explosion. So he, and he missed most of the spring coming back from knee surgery. So there are some obstacles here.
Well, Daniel Jones would be another option here. Nope. You know, one of the reasons Toney didn't produce was because
Barnwell says no, shaking his head immediately.
Okay, Ojulari would be an option, but Daniel Jones would be an option because one of the reasons Toney didn't produce is because they had those terrible quarterbacks, and basically the offensive line went from bad to like unplayable in the last 8 or 9 weeks of the season. I've made mistakes before, and maybe I'm making it with Davis Mills, where you like get too excited about the last five or six games of a rookie year, and then you hold on to that. Like, do you still think Daniel Jones? Don't you think in this Brian Daboll type of thing, like at least has a chance? I don't know who else does on this roster anyway.
I think given the way things unfolded this year, especially with this particular quarterback class and everything that was going on with the Giants, I think they made the right call to just hold here and give him one more shot. That said, and you used to talk about this with Darnold and other guys, Greg, like once you get to this point, you have to assume the worst. So while he's still toolsy, while you wonder with better leadership and a better game plan, will he be able to become that guy they thought he was going to be? You just got to look at like history and think it's not going to be the year for him, but you know.
I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I think the odds are against him. And yes, you are changing some of your personnel. You're changing the coaching staff. I think Brian Daboll is much more competent than the offensive staff they had in there previously. But man, look what happened with Sam, right? Sam went to Carolina. He had three good games. Our old friend Evan Silva.
Yeah, but
was
Daniel Jones has like, you're a Giants fan. Don't you think Daniel Jones has shown that he's kind of a replacement level starting quarterback? Like I'm pretty confident, and I can't say this about Darnold, that Daniel Jones is going to have like a 12 to 14 year career bouncing around the league, and he'll be like a part-time starter, maybe is like his median outcome, kind of like a Teddy Bridgewater-ish career.
Oh boy, I do not think Daniel Jones is on Teddy Bridgewater's level. You've already slandered Teddy twice in the first.
That's not a slander. I just think he's shown that he can play, in the league. That's all.
I think my concern is how has he developed? I mean, to me, I think he's still the same guy who is very slow in the pocket. He's patient, which I think is a good thing, but also patient to a fault. He's getting hit too often. He doesn't protect the football very well. Like the strides he has made are not significant enough to me to think that he's going to make a sudden leap. And I think with a backup quarterback, you want somebody like Teddy who's going to protect the football, make smart decisions, maybe doesn't have the ceiling other guys have, but Daniel Jones to me is just not that guy. I think to me, if I was going to pick someone, I'd pick Andrew Thomas, where he improved last year. He was bad as a rookie. He was much better last year. He looked competent last year. He was not the problem with that line a year ago, but still well behind Wills and Wirfs for the best tackle in that class. And he was taken as the first tackle in that class ahead of those guys. So to me, I think it's, is he going to be a okay tackle, or is he going to be the guy the Giants expected and be a superstar left tackle and a building block for them for the next decade? Whether it's Daniel Jones or someone else at quarterback, he's protecting in years to come.
I'll throw one more out from the NFC East. Yep. A little bit basic, because I thought he'd be in the superstar club this year. It didn't quite happen. But CeeDee Lamb making that leap this year, I think, is going to happen. I think the way it's setting up for the Cowboys, Dak another year clear of the surgery, Amari Cooper out the door, you're going to see CeeDee Lamb put up all pro monster stats, in my opinion. You could make a case for Tony Pollard too. Those are two good options, I think, because I think he finally kind of takes over and becomes that lead guy from Zeke, and he's going to be involved in their passing game as well. I think the Cowboys have two good candidates there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Greg, can I give you one Washington candidate?
Please. I was struggling with them.
I will give you Cam Curl, the safety, where he was mostly a strong safety last year. I think he, you know, mixes it up a bit more. I know Bryce McCain is there back on a one-year deal. They have high hopes for him. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, a superstar, but I think, you know, he has potential. I think there's a lot to like there. I think they were very impressed with him in a small sample. I think he gets a bigger role this year, and I think he has the athleticism to impress.
The next couple of divisions I'll crank through, but I thought one of the two or three most interesting teams in the whole league was the Eagles, because they have big name value here for potential making leap. Dan, where are you going? Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts. You could even go Jordan Mailata. As much as I've talked him up, he still has another leap to go, where he would be like a first team all pro type of guy. I mean, he's not been a Pro Bowl or anything. And then I know they're very high in Milton Williams, who is a defensive tackle they took and will be part of a rotation, so it might be hard for him to step up, but had a nice rookie year. More than most teams, they've got some good name value there.
You're going to want a few quarterbacks on your list when the copy comes out, when it's pounded out. So I think Jalen Hurts is the safe pick here and the right pick. That's my choice for all the reasons we've talked about this summer. Another year in the system, unquestioned starter, got a new number one receiver. You know, if he's healthy, I think he's going to ball out and take the leap and be, you know, a top it could be a top 10 starter if things go really well, but like a guy numbers that's wise, safely on the right side of the Dalton scale.
Could feel you trying to calibrate that number correctly. Just the brain, just the scale slightly 12, 8, 6, 14. Yeah. I think 10 is a good number. Let's go to the NFC North. I mean, I think there's a lot to get here too as well. And you know, I'm intrigued. Greg, who do you think is possibly capable of making the leap on this Bears roster?
Well, Darnell Mooney is going to have such an opportunity, a Tulane grad. So I've talked him up plenty on this podcast, but he really is a true deep threat, which not many players in the league are. And it, to me, matches up perfectly with Justin Fields' skill set. And there's so little receiving options behind him. You know, they certainly at tight end, they're okay, but their number two receiver might be Byron Pringle. And so Mooney, even though he might not need to be that much better, just the fact that they'll throw the ball enough, like he could easily have 1,300 yards. Justin Fields would also be an option. Jalen Johnson took a step back last year, maybe. So if you like him to bounce back. But Mooney, this is what the problem is. You don't want to go too many receivers, but Mooney feels like the guy.
I will say, I mean, like I said, I'm doing the skill position rankings for ESPN. The Bears are very low there. They are, if I was doing offensive line rankings, I think they'd be dead last. I mean, Justin Fields has absolutely no help. And I think that's the scary thing, is it's not just about him playing poorly. I think it's hard for me to see him even staying healthy through the entire season. That's how desperate I think his situation is. So I guess you go Mooney just by default, but it's just a brutal situation.
I feel like this is making me realize, though, like, if you want, and this, I'm not telling you what to do here, Bill, but you want, there's a lot of people here at ESPN. You want your takes to stand out. I feel like no one's on the, like, Justin Fields is going to have a monster second year and be the best second year quarterback guy left. Like, everyone's sort of off that. So if only to be unique, someone should be taking that corner
big
now.
Market.
The off chance it happens.
That's, you know, there's... That's quite elite,
though. I'll leave that for
you. Could go, Dan. You could go. Maybe you could take that.
I won't do it.
Someone needs to be the big Fields guy, because it could happen. If he's really as good as we thought he was coming into the league, like
I volunteered to help Greg on one column, and now he's giving me his secondary takes. Okay. I'm not gonna do this, but you can do that one, Bill.
Yeah, just quickly on the North, I'll just say Penei Sewell, probably the leading guy in the Lions, maybe DeAndre Swift. Alan Lazard maybe stepping up if we wanted to give Rashawn Gary more love. He's already kind of taken the leap. Irv Smith, maybe KJ Osborne, Cam Bynum in Minnesota.
Can I just one thing, since you brought up the Green Bay pass catchers, do they need either Lazard or Christian Watson to immediately emerge to be a big-time team this year? Are they... I know, you know, the Devontae Adams situation. I feel like they're very vulnerable unless one of those guys becomes a guy, like a dog. Got the dog in him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. You know, I don't think Lazard has a track record to make you think he's going to be that guy. So I think, you know, maybe it's Robert Tonyan coming back from injury. Maybe they just go to a more run-heavy approach. Like, I think you can't just run back that exact same offense, the exact same pass rate, exact same routes, and just plug in Alan Lazard and think, okay, he's going to be Devontae Adams. And that's just not going to happen. I think someone has to make a major leap. They don't have to be Devontae Adams, but I think someone has to be the guy where we mentioned Nate Tice. Nate Tice always says, who's going to be that guy who gets you a bucket when you need a bucket? Like, Devontae Adams was that guy for the Packers, and now they don't have that guy. There's not that, you know, the guy who's going to bail you out on third down. So to me, I think someone has to be that player for them.
I think they've shown, and the Patriots certainly over the years have shown, that though, like, if you're going to try to save money or you're a little short at a position, wide receiver is not a bad one to be short on, because when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, he can make them better. And the reason I put Lazard first is just, like, he's tried to call Lazard his number one receiver in the offseason, so you know that he likes Lazard. He's trying to puff him up a little bit. He's going to give him opportunities, and that's part of the reason you pay Rodgers $50 million. We'll fly through the South, the NFC South. Okay. I think Kyle Pitts, you almost have to do him with the Falcons. Gross Matos I've always liked with the Panthers the last 2 years. Jeremy Chinn maybe bouncing back. Pete Werner was really good for the Saints as a rookie. I think he's going to be my pick, maybe Paulson Adebo. The Bucs didn't have many options because they're such a veteran team. I could get cute and throw Tom Brady in just to just be like, he's just going to step up big in age 45 season. Try and Shayanka. Let's go to the NFC.
I'll throw one for Carolina. Yeah, J.C. Horn was kicking ass before he broke his foot. But does he qualify? Because he only played three games as a rookie. So it wouldn't
he qualifies.
Be like,
and it, I think he does.
Okay. Well, I think you should
think
about it.
I think you're okay. Can I throw a Tampa one in there really quick?
Okay.
Let me throw in Russ Gage.
Ooh. Okay.
Like Russell Gage is coming over from Atlanta. You know, the expectations are pretty high. Tom Brady personally recruited him to come to Tampa. He probably starts in two wide receiver sets to start the season. Like you know, I don't think Russell Gage is going to be a Pro Bowler, but that's not out of the realm of possibility that he's a 1,000-yard receiver in this offense. And that would be a pretty big leap from a guy who was, you know, had decent numbers in Atlanta, but was never seen as like a real difference maker from week to week.
No, he was a monster in the last half of last season, and I was just like, what? Russell Gage, that's a good pick. Tryon Shoyinka has such a good opportunity, but it's been pretty erratic as a pro. The Cardinals, I might go Marquise Brown.
You're a big hyphenated guy.
Yeah, I do like hyphenated players. Marquise Brown, maybe changing his role up a little bit in that system. Marco Wilson, their cornerback. 49ers, you go Ayuk, you go Lance, you go Elijah Mitchell, you go Kamiko Torre, who I kind of like coming in there. Seattle, though, there's a lot of options. So I want your help, Dan. I could throw Geno in there. I'm running out of time to get Geno into my copy. That would be fun. Jordan Brooks is a guy that, like, people that watch the tape love Jordan Brooks. He never fares very well on PFF because I think he gives up big plays and his coverage is spotty. Noah Fant coming over there. We always kind of were waiting for Noah Fant to break out. Darryl Taylor's a good pass rusher. The Seahawks have options, Dan. Would you get cute and go Geno, or would you do something
else? I certainly wouldn't go, but I could see you doing that because there's not a big standout guy. I don't know. Like, if Russell Wilson was throwing the passes, Fant would be interesting to me. But that's not the reality we live in anymore. I don't really have a hot take on this one. I'm not going to force it.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. I mean, you know, I think it's really a question of what does that offense look like? Because I think if that offense looks like it's if it looks like it's just a run-heavy mess and they're just taking some play-action shots, then I'm not excited about Fant. But if they're moving the ball, if they get Noah Fant a bunch of red zone opportunities, I think he could be like a 9-10 touchdown guy, and that would be a step forward for me. I don't think he's going to have 1,000 yards. I don't think they're going to have the volume after Lockett and Metcalf get theirs, but I think Noah Fant could be more of a red zone threat. I think that would be exciting.
He could be their number three receiver, basically, you know, not all tight ends are your number three kind of receiver. They don't really have a third wideout get like 700 yards and 8 touchdowns. And then finally the Rams, probably leaning Ernest Jones. You could go Note Boom coming in. You could go Cam Akers. You could go David Long.
You mentioned we had to pick our lock, I guess. And no, I know this is just cheating on the lock system, but I think I'll go Ernest Jones. Ernest Jones was one of the best players on the field in the Super Bowl. I mean, and there are a lot of famous players on the field in the Super Bowl. He was phenomenal in that game. I mean, I think for them, you know, I don't want to say he's going to be this guy because this is probably the best possible outcome for his skill set or for his draft status and where he played last year. But I think he's the guy who has to be the Fred Warner for the Rams. And I think in terms of his ability to work within the context of coverage, in terms of his ability to, you know, to cover different parts of the field, he looked like that guy in the postseason, especially in the Super Bowl. So to me, I think he's still a work in progress, but he has that kind of upside. And I think he's going to be a really important player for that team this year, I think.
Greg, when you have this article that goes up live next week on NFL.com, in the opening graph or two before you dig in, how much pop do Barnwell and I get?
Yeah.
Now you're getting it. If you hadn't just said that, I don't know if it would have happened. Maybe I would have at least waited till I got to someone that you guys like specifically pitched for. But now that you did that, I think that's good. And that, you know, that just increases the chances of you guys mentioning it ever again. So that can only help spread the word about making the leap.
You know me well, Greg. All right, Bill, you've said it all. One day you and I are going to be in Boston at the same time, and we'll get a sandwich of chicken Lou's together. Northeastern graduate.
I have some bad news, Dan.
Don't say it. Don't you say it.
I have some bad news. We lost Chicken Lou during the pandemic. So sad. You can buy, I believe, TKO sauce or some kind of Chicken Lou sauce on their website now. But it was, sadly, the
you know, it was the bread. It was that soft bread with the chicken and the buffalo
sauce.
Wow. R.I.P. Sad day for all Huskies.
True, right. Literally.
Wait, did the restaurant close or did this Lou character?
Did he close? The curtain closed on Lou himself. I don't know. Lou, it was a little shack off.
It was like a food truck Huntington kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll go to B-Hop instead. We'll go to B-Hop and we'll toast chicken from there.
All right, good stuff. Bill, thank you so much. Again, check out Bill's writing on ESPN.com and the Bill Barnwell Show. And he's always on with Mina, so you could check Bill everywhere. He's on ESPN, the television station, a lot. I mean, this is
a lot of Van Pelt action. You and Van Pelt.
It's true.
Nice rapport with Van Pelt.
Two bald men just doing TV. It's a real triumph, I think, for us. Not a lot of bald representation on TV. Happy to finally get two bald men on the television at the same time together. Big upside for me there.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we say goodbye to Bill Barnwell, but we got another guest because we have developing news, and this is not the good type of developing news. In fact, I'm disgusted. Because the city council over in Tybee Island, our beloved Tybee, Chris Wessling's former hometown, has come up with some weapons-grade bullshit that is targeting the Great Huckapoos, the finest establishment in Tybee Island, the hangout of all hangouts in that wonderful place, the place that Wes loves so much, he made a point to make sure we always were there when we visited. It was a major meeting point and hangout point during Chris and Lakeisha's wedding weekend. And now we got some, again, weapons grade bullshit. And I want to talk about it. I want to get it from the horse's mouth. The man, the myth, the legend. Now joining us, the owner of Huckapoos, Eric Thomas. Eric, what's up? Welcome to Around the NFL. Love the WrestleMania shirt.
Yeah, man. Representing.
What is going on right now in Tybee?
Well, I just want to tell you how good you look, man. Have you been vacationing? Is that what's been going on?
I'm on the Jersey Shore right now. I'm north of you right now, you know, nice. Hanging out with family, having some cocktails and hanging by the beach.
I'm sitting right here, Eric. I'm sitting right here.
The last time I saw Dan, he was the sweatiest man I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God. I don't know how we played this celebrity softball game. You know, he had all the biggest stars of Tybee Island against NFL and we got toasted. And I don't know how you people survived down there in that heat. I certainly
different
couldn't.
Different kind of heat.
It was rough. I almost died on the field that day. But let's move on from that. That was a bad day, and now another bad day. Here we go. Let's get into it.
Yeah, it was. So we've been battling a little bit with the city, and they sent me an email out of the blue and said, you can no longer have music, including the radio, after 11 o'clock p.m.
Jesus.
So there was no vote. There was no discussion. There was no communication with me. It's just an email sent from the city manager to myself. He said that 11 businesses were affected. The other 10 businesses close at 10 o'clock.
It's a target. Yeah, it's a targeted hit. Why? Why are they coming after you, Eric? Do you have any type of heat?
I'm trying to figure it out now. I'm not 100% why they're coming at me. He said, I asked the same question. He said, due to the numerous complaints that we've received, so I did a open records request and got a list of the complaints, and the list stopped at one. There was one complaint about our noise over the past year, and that was on September 4th. And I was wondering if you guys were here on September 4th. That's the reason I that's the reason I wanted to call. Let's see if you guys are responsible.
I was coalescing in the hospital.
Someone with some money here who maybe lives nearby and doesn't like that it's late is using some influence. This would never have happened when our friend Jason was the mayor.
That's true.
Of course, Jason Bilderman, he yeah. married our great friend Chris Wesseling. You know, he is who officially joined LaKeisha and Chris.
Well,
he
was the officiant of the wedding. He didn't.
Yeah, he was the officiant. Right. Yes. I was looking for the word there. It wouldn't have happened under his watch. So, like, what can we do here? We don't want our listeners to come too hard at whoever's making this decision, the city council. Well, you tell us how can
I
we
say
help?
Come as strong as you want to come.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Like, come hard. Like, well, I'm just saying, if that's not going to work, I don't want to.
I think
do
yes, that's. I think Greg's making a point that crossed my mind yesterday, that we have this great listenership, this loyal listenership, and every one of them absolutely loved and adored Chris Wesseling. And when you think about Chris, absolutely. You think about Tybee, you think about Huckapoos. In my experiences at Huckapoos, the night just starts heating up around 11 o'clock and everybody's having a great exactly. time outside. That made me think that maybe you had defeated someone, Eric, in cornhole, that and you got on somebody's bad side that way, and a late night yeah. game. But what can we do? Because I don't want our listeners to come so hard that it becomes somehow hurts the cause. But maybe just voices carry here in this situation. Who can we send the listeners to make sure Huckapoos isn't unfairly targeted? And the city council needs to give you and all the other people who love Huckapoos a voice. I'm hearing that they're not even letting you bring that up for conversation. What is this?
I went and applied to be on the agenda for the next meeting. That was last Thursday. And I got a call a few days before that said I've been denied my rights to speak in front of council about this issue. Now, they have said, okay, we're going to slow down on this. We're not going to enforce this right now. But it is a law on the books right now that was made by one man. And he did it all himself under the guidance of the council. So I don't really know, you know, at this point, you know, talking about Wes, one thing we learned from Wes is if we're going to go down, we're going to go down swinging, right? We're going to fight the whole time. So that's what I'm going to do too. I'm going to fight him as hard as I can and hopefully get this thing resolved.
All right. And if there's someone that our listeners can either tweet out or email, maybe you could let us know, Eric, and we'll make sure that message gets across because in all seriousness, that really was a place that before we even went to Huckapoos, I remember there were shows because Chris, every time he was on vacation from the NFL, he would always fly back east and always spend time back in Tybee. So many friends, dear friends there.
Yeah.
And we had a running, I'm sure you were on the show before, Eric, where we called the bar and asked for Wes just on a lark that he would be there. And many times he was.
He's there.
Yeah. So this is an important place in the history of this program and obviously on the island. So anything we can do to help right this injustice, it's a disgrace. And your government, the government works for us, the people.
Right.
And right
you,
now
man.
It's
Preach.
Not. It is not working for the people. It's working for someone, some shadowy figure. And we have issues with shadowy league figures on our program. There's a shadowy figure out there that I don't know what happened. I don't know who's taking handouts or what's going on, but this needs to stop. This needs to be rectified. Mm. It's part of the fabric of that island type.
And the community is rallying right now behind me. And I certainly appreciate that. Everybody that's reached out to the city council and to, and posted their things on Facebook. And it's been awesome to show the support, to feel the love from the community, which has always been so good to us. So a special thanks to them for sure. But we're gonna fight it and we're gonna see what happens, but we'll take it as far as we can go because I'm definitely not gonna lie down on this one.
Yeah, you shouldn't. That you know that Wes would want you to. Wes loves Huckapoos more than anything.
For sure.
He would
sure.
fight it. And what our listeners can do is what they've been doing. Keep going to Huckapoos. We love getting
Absolutely.
Messages. It's very often from overseas listeners who are in
indeed.
The area.
So many people come in and wanting to know where Wes is retired, jersey is, at the, wow. Or like, so you'd be surprised at how many people take a pilgrimage to Huckapoo's just because of Chris Wessling. It's amazing. It really
is. It's amazing. We love when our listeners send us those and keep doing it, because it just feels like if there's one thing in the world you could do to honor Chris, like, that's it. Go have a good day there. Send us a picture. Oh, like, man, spread the love. It's amazing. Yeah. I do have one theory, though, of maybe what happened.
Sure. With the fire away.
Okay. Did you do any kind of stacking of your softball team with some ringers that maybe got somewhat upset and now is somehow using influence, because you're wearing this WrestleMania softball shirt and, you know, we haven't seen you since that day.
Right.
I wouldn't say, like, you know, what you did that day to really stack your team with some ringers that barely even knew Wes, that were off the island, was totally in good spirit, in good sporting spirit. So maybe that happened in some other way, and that's what's going on here.
I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing. I appreciate that, you know, but those guys were just fans of Wes. They weren't necessarily friends.
We're still salty about that. We're still salty about that.
Next time we come down, our fans of Wes are going to be, you know, Mike Trout and Juan Soto. Friends of Wes.
Well, we're actually hoping to come out there for the next softball game. So
that would be great.
So we'll bring our people. You know, and speaking of Wessling Field, where we played ball at, it is the home to the Little League softball team that won their first victory ever in a Little League World Series game. Wow. Right here from Tybee Island. So it was a big deal.
On Wessling Field. That's amazing.
They train at Wessling Field. We actually played in Warner Robins, but they trained at Wessling Field, and history was made. The first victory ever. So it was a
beautiful
big deal.
And if you do, and listeners, as the pilgrimages continue to Tybee, yes, absolutely hit up Huckapoo's multiple times. But yes, get to Wessling Field, which was such an amazing job, Eric, and I know you were a vital part of it, getting that field renamed Wessling Field. There's also a wonderful plaque that talks about how special Wes was. Make sure you check that as well. It's really a special place, Tybee, and I hope, Eric, everything works out here, and whatever we can do to help, we will do.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There
Thanks,
he goes.
Eric, Good
Eric Thomas,
you.
Yes, developing news. A crooked government, local government down there in Georgia, is coming after a beloved institution. Our podcast, Greg, we're just not going to stand for that. There's so many things we've lost our faith in our leaders. And here's just another example on the local scale.
No, I'm looking forward to continuing to update this story. And I feel like it's like a classic sports movie story where there's just clearly a bad guy here.
We got to find out who
there's
the
clearly
guy
a good guy. And I think we're going to get our sports movie ending eventually, and we'll be able to celebrate this idea being knocked down with Eric again on the show, hopefully.
Well, you know, it would be actually a fun thing to do. And I know things are about to pick up and get busy, but if we could, you know, maybe do some type of fundraising to have an ad campaign that will air on local television down there. We just need to find out who this guy is. This man,
right. We don't
woman.
Really know what to do here at this point.
Right. As you could tell, listeners, we're trying to figure out how to help, and we're going to work on that, and we'll be sure to keep you updated. But I think finding out who is the slime ball, the human gutter ball behind this, that's step one, I think. And then we pounce.
No one can stop us. No one can stop our listeners. We get everyone together. We're a powerful force.
All right. We are. This podcast is a powerful force. Bill Barnwell, powerful force. Thank you to Bill for joining us. We'll be back on Thursday with another show. It's our last two-show week before we dive all in. We get back together in the studio in L.A. starting next week. So we got one more show coming up this week. So make sure you check that out. Until then, as the great Chris Wessling was wont to say, heed the call. All right, let's give him a call. Dear God, please pick up.
Huckapoo's.
Hi, can I speak to Chris Wessling? Is he at your establishment?
We built a shower for patrons. He may be crying in it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Let me check. I'm going to look around.
They've seen him. They've spotted him.
Hey, I found him. Hold on.
All right, great. Love Huckapoos. Corpses don't cry.
Hello?
Hello?
There he is.
There he is, Christopher Wessling. It is almost 6 p.m. on Tybee Island. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing wonderfully. How are you guys?
Did I just hear someone yell in the background, they found him? Like, they knew we were looking for you?
Like Waldo all week.
I had Gold Standard put the authorities on line two in case you didn't pick up this time. We were nervous.
Do not alert the authorities to my presence.
What's going on? How's your vacation been?
I've been playing hide and seek from them all week.
How's the trip been so far, buddy?
Oh, it's lofty expectations have been met and exceeded.
Wow. Chris, we want to know, earlier in the week you mentioned to us that you were garage drinking. I just want to know, that sounds fun to me. What's that mean?
So, the people I'm staying with, they have a bar in the garage, and it turned into some fun shenanigans on, I don't know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. On Friday, it's a thing where you just stop by people's houses, and you expect to have, you know, fun. So, one of my favorite stories since I've been here is that I show up for the garage drinking on the first day, and the little golf cart cab that comes around the island and picks up everyone just drops off two cases of beer. And
wow.
Here's a message. This is in exchange for the golf clubs that you lent me the other day. That's like a regular payment. Just have the golf cart taxi drop off cases of beer.
It's like a very friendly barter system.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it, right? This
basically sounds like heaven on earth for Chris Wessling and maybe many of our listeners. Like a utopia that they couldn't imagine truly exists.
Yeah, I'm not coming back.
Wow.
By the way.
That was our next question.
Before we let you go, Wes, and it's great to hear your voice, and we look forward to seeing you, you missed the game that we played last week that you really, you'll enjoy. We'll bring it back.
I wouldn't say I missed it.
What does that mean? You didn't like it?
I heard it, and Mark, you never take Ryan Tannehill over Drew Brees no matter the situation.
That's his problem.
That's the
with it? Okay.
Anyway, the game is.
You don't take average over superior ever.
The game is called Qual es tu Fantasia, and I'll throw one out to you before you go. All right.
All right.
If you could pick one person to ghostwrite a biography about your life, who would it be? Greg Rosenthal or Mark Sessler?
David Simon from The Wire.
No. I don't think you heard the question because Huckapoos has the first phone ever, apparently. You have to choose either Greg Rosenthal or Mark Sessler.
Mark.
Yeah, it's got to be Mark. To
well,
write a biop.
Greg, but Mark will be a lot more flowery.
I was wondering if you were worried about your job security, but you went with the truthful answer, and I respect that.
I was pointing at Mark the whole time. This seems like a...
I love that. Made the question... If you should know, Wes, that the question made Greg very uncomfortable in the studio.
Mark would be more flowery, plus pin me to several murders in different counties.
That's true.
Accurately. With Mark, there'd be a sense of intrigue and mystery and... Nautical adventure.
I don't
disagree. Greg, you could provide that too.
All right, Wes, we need to get back to the show because Gold Standard's taking over the direction for the rest of the program. But it's great to hear your voice, and please come home.
I was just kidding. I'm coming home. I love California now, and I love you guys.
Aww.
And Gold Standard's the best. Well, I mean, TD is pretty awesome.
Aw.
Wow, look at Wes.
Good to hear from you all. I am alive and well, contrary to popular conventional theory, and I will see you all in a few days.
All right, love
all right,
you, Wes.
Love you, Wes.
Farewell.
Later, man.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.